So, I wonder if you can guess what our new series is called. Have a little look round, boys and girls. Renew Our Hearts. And this is our new series. We had an introduction to it last week. And there's even a clue up there, because it's not all zigzags. There are words in the middle of that. How many subjects do you think we're going to have over these next weeks? Can you work it out? Six. And the first one this week starts in the top left, and it is prayer. Now, one of our doctors in the church was a bit concerned with some of the zigzag shapes there and said, this person is really not in a good way. But I said, it's just artistic license, and maybe that's a good thing for us to be aware of, that we can easily get into a bad way in these areas of our lives. These are the six things that we as leaders and as a church felt should be the most important things for us as members, as a church, as individuals. And we had to work through this whole process to get these six different things. Now, this word renew, I looked it up and it said renew means, find the right word for it here. Oh, I can't find the other one. But the best meaning I saw, which surprised me a little bit, was to wake up, to renew. And I thought, that's a great thing, to wake up to prayer. Because that's what we need as a church, to wake up to prayer. Maybe you think these six things are pretty obvious for us as a church, but it wasn't the easiest process, because although we felt they were important, we said, can we actually see these things happening in the church? And probably at that time, we didn't see it as it should have been. And we said, well, if prayer is going to be one of our important things, then let's see it as being important. So we pray before church, we pray before cafe, we pray at toddlers, we pray at all the special events, we pray in home groups. There's lots of prayer that goes on. And that was a significant change for us as a church, to make prayer a core value in every area. And God has made prayer so easy for us. It's as easy as talking. And we don't even need to speak. We can just think the words and talk to God in our own minds. Most people have one of these, a mobile phone, and you pay for your texts and your calls and your data. And at the end of the month, my kids always say, I say, can I use your phone? Oh, I've run out. I've run out this month. I can't make any more calls. And that's quite a common thing. And I was thinking about prayer, and I thought, well, with prayer, there's no time limits, and it's free and unlimited. You can talk to God all the time, and it'll never run out, that possibility to talk to him. Maybe you're too young to have your own phone, but we can pray to God whatever age we are. And that's a great thing too. God doesn't say, oh, well, I'll listen to his prayer because he's quite old and mature. God will listen to the prayer of the youngest child. And one of the kids in church just a couple of weeks ago was at a big event in Falkirk, and he prayed a special prayer and asked the Lord Jesus into his life. And that was really exciting for us to hear about as a church. Maybe when you do something wrong, you think, I could never tell anyone about that. They wouldn't like me anymore, or they might be shocked. But God cannot be shocked, because God knows everything. God knows all that we say and think and do. So nothing is going to surprise him. Sometimes you can't make calls, like usually when I'm in this church building, because the walls are too thick. And you can't get through, and there's no access. There's no signal. With prayer, you can pray wherever you are. At the top of a mountain, somebody's going up Arthur's Seat today. Others are climbing up other little hills. Or you could be down underwater and be praying to God. You can pray to God wherever you are and whatever you're doing. In the Bible, it says, pray at all times. What are some things people do when they pray? To help them to pray. Anybody help me with that? Simple things. Cara. Close their eyes. Now, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. I think I always thought you really need to close your eyes. Why do you think it would be helpful to close your eyes to pray? Yes. That's a good one, isn't it? You're not distracted by other things. But don't do it when you're driving, because that's really not a good idea, or if you're flying a plane or anything like that. So you can talk to God with your eyes open. And as I said, you don't even need to be heard by other people. You can talk to God in your own mind as well. And sometimes I phone people, but maybe they see it's me phoning, so they don't answer. Or they're busy doing less important things like working or eating or putting kids to bed. But God is always there. God's never too busy to listen to us, to hear our prayer, and he will always answer. And some people think that means, oh, that's great, God's going to answer my prayers and I'm going to get whatever I ask for. That's not the way God works. So sometimes God has to say, no, that's really not for you. And sometimes he says, well, yeah, you just need to hold on. That's maybe coming. And there's two more. Usually I was told there's one more, because God does say yes as well. Anyone had prayers that God has said yes to? Can you put your hand up just to get an idea? That's good. Quite a few that God has said yes to. But sometimes God just says, on you go. You make a choice. You could have two choices and they're both equally good. And God just says, use your noggin, use your common sense, you choose. There's not always a right and wrong thing in life to do. But God will always hear and answer our prayers. Because God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best. And that's personal prayer. It's you and God. And talking to him is a big part of that. God's word also tells us it's important for us to pray together with others. In fact, there's something really special that happens when we do that. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst. So when we pray with other people, God is with us in a special way. And God loves to hear the prayers of his people. God loves to hear the prayers of his people. And what kind of conversation would this be? Yeah, I'm doing okay. I've been on holiday. I've had a great time, but I'm a bit skint at the moment. Could you send me some money and come round and the kids are doing my head in? Could you come and take the kids just for a while? And I'm not feeling very well. So when you're coming round, could you stop at the chemist and get me some medicine? And oh, if you could just whip up a wee dinner for me and bring it round as well. That would be really good. And what kind of conversation is that? It's not great, is it? It's just laying out what we want. It's all about me and my requests. I read something last night that I didn't write down. I thought, well, that's quite clever, actually. The word listen can be made into another word. Can you think what it is? Because it helps us to listen. And anyone work that one out? It's a bit like... Silent, that's right. I didn't know if you were doing that just because you knew what it was. Silent. And that's helpful for us to be quiet so that we can listen to what God has to say to us. And not to be selfish and not just talk all the time, but to hear what God has to say to us. Mark Henderson was telling me he was at Spree. Who was at Spree Camp? Still a few remnants of that here this morning. They were at Spree, and at the end of one of the sessions, the speaker said, we're just going to be quiet now, and we're going to be silent, and we're going to listen to God and ask God to speak to us. And we're going to ask God to put a person on our mind, someone that we can pray for. And Mark didn't really expect anything, but he closed his eyes and he was listening. Just had his hand like this, ready to hear from God. And a name came straight into his mind. He thought, whoa, where did that come from? And he went to his friend Jerry from church after and said, he said, see when that guy said, ask God to put someone, he said, God did that for me. And he told him the boy's name and Jerry went, I got exactly the same name. And it turned out Jerry knew the person as well. So they were so excited that God had done that. It's a really simple thing. But God can put things in our minds, names of other people to pray for, ways that we should go, things that we should do. And that makes prayer really exciting in our lives. It's no coincidence. And so there we have it. Prayer is so easy. It's so important. It makes such a difference in our lives and the lives of others. All around the world, your prayers can make a difference. We pray here for people like Sam and Mary in France, and we don't even see them. But God can answer our prayers and help them away over there in France. So everyone that's a Christian will tell you that prayer is a really important part of the Christian life, that it's vital, that it is a core value. But the reality is that even after all we've just thought about, for most Christians, including me, it's one of the hardest parts of the Christian life. And you know, part of that is because the devil doesn't want us to pray. He will find any way to distract us, to cause us to stop praying. And there's more distractions now than there's ever been for people in their lives. Distractions and busyness and other things that we love can easily get in the way. So how can we be helped to renew our hearts in prayer? Well, we have God's word, and that's really important. And this morning we're going to be hearing more about that from that psalm that we heard earlier, but also from the experience of other believers. People who've learned important lessons can teach us and help us how to get more out of prayer. I want to give you a really simple tool to take away with you today that can really help you. I'm going to do that just shortly. And it's also the best when you can learn from someone that's become something of an expert. And that person is one of the people in the Bible who wrote that psalm and said some of the greatest prayers. And we're going to learn from that shortly. So it's helpful to get fresh resources and ideas to help us to pray. And this is one I saw this week. And I saw it once and I remembered it. And I thought, that must be a really good one. So some of you may know it. And hopefully you've all... You should all have one of these quite near to you. Just have a little look around. It's quite a handy thing. It's a hand. Anyone bring a hand with them this morning? That's good. Well, give me a hand. So we're going to use this, and you can take it away with you today. Take it home. Take two of them home and use them this week. Very simple. First one, what's this one? A thumb. It's not even a finger, is it? It's a thumb, but it is a finger. But that's the one closest to us. So when we pray, these are things that we can remember to pray for. Because sometimes I think, right, I must pray. And I go, I can't think what to pray for. My mind's gone a bit blank. So this will really help you. So thumb, people closest to us, our family, our friends, people closest to us, to pray for them first. And if they don't know God, that they would come to know God. And if they do know God, that they'll walk in his ways. Second one is that one. What do you do with this one, anybody? Point, that's right. People that point and give us direction in our lives. People like teachers and Sunday school teachers and doctors can tell us what we need to do. And we need to pray for these people as well. The third finger is, what would you say about the third finger? What is it? The tallest, the biggest. So this finger here helps us to pray for our leaders in our country, for the Prime Minister and people in government, for our headmasters, for our church elders and pastors. So that's a big finger in the middle. And then this one, it's always a bit tricky to kind of move that one about. This is known as the weakest finger, this one here. So that helps us to pray for people that are weak or sick. And sometimes people that we know get sick and we're worried about them. And that reminds us that we can pray for them. So far we've got this one, which means people closest to us. This one, people that direct us or point us in the right direction. This one for important people in important positions of responsibility. This one for the weakest people, and this one represents ourselves, because we should pray for ourselves last, but we should still pray for ourselves. So that's five simple things, and then we've got something else. If you look at it, I've missed quite a big chunk. What have I missed? The palm, that's right, the palm. And that just reminds us of all the things that God has given us that we can give thanks for. I thought, what a great illustration. That's really helped me this week. So I'm going to just pounce on you and see if you can remember all these five different things. This is to see if you've been listening, because some of you have been nodding off in the last 5 minutes.
That's for the people closest to you.
Thank you. That's for the people closest to you.
Luigi.
He's under pressure.
I'm under pressure.
Okay. Anyone else want to help Robert? Oh, people that lead you and point you in the direction, that's good. What about this big one here? Come round the back. That's a hard one. Mine's going a blank. Anyone else help me with that big one in the middle?
All the big things.
Okay, big things, important people and government and leadership. What about this little one here? What does that one represent, Anne?
Those that are weak.
Very good, Anne. Thanks for listening. And Andy?
For us.
Praying for ourselves. And the last one, to pray for all the things and give thanks for what God has given us. So that's a simple thing. It's really good. And it's something that I've been able to use this week. So I hope that you will use it as well. When I was a little boy, I had a list of people that I would pray for every single night. People all around the world and people close to me as well. Someone in church who's been on a journey with prayer is Fleming. And I've asked Fleming to come and just share a few things. I've got a few questions for Fleming. That was us to listen. There's the hand. Some questions about prayer. Good, Fleming. So, Fleming, when did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian when I was 6. Yes, I was 6 one day. In fact, whoa, now that I think about it, it was 50 years ago.
That's called black
what
and white.
What a memory, eh?
Black and white days.
Yeah.
50 years ago. I can't even imagine that.
I was carrying the stones around with a chisel. It was a nightmare.
I know. So what did prayer mean to you as a young person and growing up?
Prayer for me when I was growing up was, well, at that stage it was God bless my relatives and my friends and keep me in the straight and narrow, God. As a youth and as a teenager, I started to realize that I was pushing doors and I needed God to lead me about big decisions about what subjects to pick at school, what course to do at university, what career that God wanted me to be in, what marriage he wanted me to be in, what home he wanted me to choose. And I wanted to make sure that I was picking the things that God wanted me to do to be in his path. So I used prayer to find out what God wanted me to do.
Okay. What caused the biggest change in your walk with God and in your prayer life? Do you want to step into the spotlight? That would be nice.
Yeah. I fell away from God for reasons that I can discuss at another time, but I think it was mainly due to the fact that I didn't guard myself enough with prayer and in the scriptures and fell away from these things and allowed my life to be distant from God. But like the prodigal, I came back, and through God's love, he brought me back, and through prayer, I was able to build myself back up with him and build up a relationship with God and know him better and trust him more and entrust him or entrust my life to him.
And what does prayer look like in your kind of daily life?
Prayer is really, really important in my daily life, Colin, and I'm not just saying that because you've asked me. I've got set times in the day that I pray so that I'll make sure that I am disciplined in prayer so that I don't fall away from prayer again. And in those set times, I've got lists. You said you did it when you were a wee boy, but I still do it as a big boy. And I think it's important to have lists of people to pray for, to things to pray for, but also to give praise to God. Another thing that I love to do in prayer is prayer scriptures. I like to pray, for example, Psalm 121. When I go to the third floor in my office, I can see the Pentlands. And so I say, where does my help come from? Does it come from the hills? As I look to them, I say, no, it comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Or Deuteronomy, that tells me that God doesn't just go with me into things, but he goes ahead of me into things. Or Psalm 23, where he says, he's my shepherd, so I won't want for anything. Or even better, in Ephesians, where he tells me that it's out of his glorious riches, his unlimited resources, and through his amazing love that he answers my prayers in ways that I couldn't ever imagine or consider for myself.
I mentioned earlier on about when people are driving. Is that something that works for you?
Yeah, I pray every morning all the way into office. I used to listen to Radio 5 and I just get fed up with Nicky Campbell, so I thought I would turn to the Lord instead. And, you know, we laugh, but what a difference it makes to me as I get out of the car and head into the office knowing that I've been with God that whole 15, 20 minutes going into work. And yes, I don't close my eyes to prayer, but I try not to be distracted by the drivers that are around me, but I really do find that a precious, precious time with the Lord.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Fleming? What I've learned from Fleming and talking to Fleming about prayer is that it's not just going to happen. Prayer doesn't just happen, really, even in Christians' lives. So we need to make prayer a priority, to be disciplined, to give space and time, because otherwise it's likely that we'll not get to prayer, that we'll be distracted by so many other things that will come in. We're going to learn a little bit more shortly, but we're going to sing some more worship just now. Thanks. You wouldn't even know the kids were here. Thank you for your concentration and your quiet. And hopefully you can learn things this morning too as we consider the subject of renewing our hearts for prayer. So who is one of our greatest prayers? We heard about him earlier on. He became famous as a young boy and became the king and had a best friend called Jonathan and killed Goliath. I think we all know that it's David. And David, the Bible gives David a great title, and he's called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. God's ultimate desire is that he would renew our hearts to make it like his, that our hearts would be like his heart. And David did that in his life. So let's see what we can learn from this prayer of David in Psalm chapter 86. He starts off in verse 1 and he says, "Hear me, Lord, and answer, for I am poor and needy." And it's a really good place to start. David comes to God for help because he realizes how weak he is and how in need of God's help he is. And he knows who God is. We're going to find that out as we go through this psalm. And why does he need God's help? We need God's help for lots of different things in our lives, as we've heard from Fleming, for direction and for provision and praying for other people. Sometimes it's really dangerous times. And this is what David was really praying about. He says, "Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you." And David is the king of the whole of Israel. He's really powerful. He's really important. But his life is in danger from his enemies. His enemies want to kill him. And I'm sure David was scared. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being scared. But it's what we do with it when we are scared. It's where we go that makes the difference. David could have tried to run away from danger or to fight it by himself or with his powerful soldiers. But he knew that the best thing that he could do was to bring his prayers to God. My version that I read said, "Bend down and hear my prayer. Answer me." He speaks directly to God and he expects God to answer. I wonder what you do when you're facing difficult times in your life. Maybe your friends have fallen out with you. Maybe your house is up for sale and you need to sell it soon or buy another house. And some of us are in that situation this morning. Or other things that we're worried about. The Bible says, don't live in fear. Don't try and just work it out yourself. Bring it to God in prayer and expect that he will hear and that he will answer. The next verse says, "Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God." And if we are Christians, we should be following in God's ways. David says, "I'm devoted to you. I serve you and I trust you. You are my God." It's a personal relationship that David has with God, and he relies on God for everything. If we belong to him, the Bible promises us that he will never leave us or let us down. He is always there with us, behind, beside, ahead, as we sang earlier on. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. I bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. He's calling to God all the time, even when situations are hard and there doesn't seem to be an answer. Keep praying. Don't give up. Verse 4, he says, my life depends on you. How much can you say that this morning in your life? Are you relying on yourself? Are you going through life in your own strength? What difference would it make in your life if you were not a Christian? God has done so many things for David. He can look back on his life and see amazing things. And yet now he's really in trouble again. And so he's able to hold on to some of these wonderful things that God has done. But right now, when things are tough, he's having to hang on to God by his fingertips. And sometimes we have to do that in our lives and just trust God that he will work things out when things seem to be impossible. This psalm tells us so much about God. This is verses 5 to 10. These verses are important because they tell us lots about him. I'll pick some of them out, make them a little bit bigger. Here's some of the things about God that are really important, some of these bigger words. Because we need to know God. We need to know what he is like. Because that gives us confidence to pray. It's not like just asking somebody we know who might be able to help. We're coming to God who is all-powerful, who is forgiving and good, abounding in love, a God who answers. There is none like him among the gods. All the nations are going to come and worship him. He is great. He does marvelous deeds. God is well worth knowing and well worth praying to. He's a God who cares, a God who listens when we pray. Why would we not want to pray to someone like this? He is above all gods. He is all powerful. And I pray that he will do marvelous things in your life, whatever age you are. In verse 11, David says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. It's a great prayer to make. Because if we can live in God's ways, that's going to be the best way for us to live our lives. God teaches us and guides us through his word, as Fleming reminded us. But he also speaks to us in other ways. And Bev is going to come and share a little bit, something else, something different, how God has helped her to grow in prayer and to listen to God's leading in her walk with God. So thank you, Bev.
Given a microphone and told where to stand.
No. That's it. And you know you've only got a couple of minutes.
You told me 15, Colin.
5 minutes. So the first question is, what do you remember about prayer when you were young? We're asking Fleming, and he had certain things that he would have just prayed for when he was young. What about you?
Certain things. Well, my early memory would be my dad. He used to always read and pray every morning. So as a child, prayer in our home was really important. And I remember as a wee girl going, that we used to have all day prayers in church as well. In Fermanagh, so I would go along with my dad. So, and I became a Christian whenever I was about 7.
About 7, okay. Yeah. That's really helpful because later on we're not going to specifically mention it, but David talks about his mother who's been an influence on him. So for you, it was in the family, it was your dad.
Yeah.
Okay. How has prayer developed in your life over these years?
Prayer.
I know it's less than 54, but.
Yes.
A lot less.
Prayer was always important. I remember in our church back home, as teenagers, I remember going to my school uniform, it was always, the prayer meeting was always a place that youngsters would go as well. And it would be, there was quite a crowd of us whenever I was growing up, really loads of Christian friends in church. And we would all go on it every Tuesday night, we would all go. We maybe wouldn't always listen and behave, but no, we all were there. So it was always, and I remember going to Belfast and to study whenever I was 16. And finding a church, and again, going to the prayer meeting there. So it's always, through my life, always, prayer was very important.
Okay. What have you learned? Has things changed in terms of listening to God? I think for me, growing up, it was all about laying out all my requests to God, and there wasn't too much in terms of listening to God.
I would say, since I've come to KCC, my prayer life has really changed. I remember a few years ago, there was prayer works that Ruth Bramwell was doing. I remember being involved in the organising of that. And I remember sitting up in the cafe area and somebody mentioned, you know, let's see if God will give us an image or a picture. And I was like, whoa, I'm not used to that. I'm used to going, we used to pray around the room. I don't know whether any of you used to do that. You used to count. The sweat would be running off you. My turn to pray. So, yes. So this was totally new. So I would say in the last few years, I've been more listening to God rather than always talking. And I've learnt that it's not trying to empty your mind, that it's meditating on worship songs or the Bible.
That's another resource then that we've not thought about, about using music.
And also because I love art and drawing, I think God has, quite often I would get pictures or images if, sometimes I would be supporting people or sending, I remember one time, whenever it first started, God would prompt me to send a message, and I'd be going, God, this really doesn't make sense. No, I can't possibly. But now I've learned not to question. So if I'm given a message or a verse, I just ping it off. And and also pictures. Yeah, given pictures and images.
Okay. Anything else to share with us
here? Well, just really that I have started having a prayer diary or a prayer journal since about 2012, and that is so helpful to look back. Some of the things that, because we forget, I have a very bad memory, and we forget when God answers our prayers or puts things in our hearts. But also, it's not just about all the good things. It's like I had an entry, my prayer life's rubbish, I'm reading a good book instead of a Bible. You know, it's been honest, and I can look back and see my journey with prayer.
Okay, you mentioned there about books. Is there any kind of resources that you've found that have been helpful for you?
Well, I have read a few books. So, Too Busy Not to Pray, which I find really helpful, by Bill Hybel. And The Power of a Praying Parent by Stormy O'Malley. And at holiday, I find really helpful to watch what you're reading or bring a book. And I read Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger. So that's all about prayer and working of the Holy Spirit. So I find that really good.
I think it's really encouraging that we grow and we mature in our lives as Christians and in our walk with God, and prayer doesn't stay the same through our lives. It's something that God wants to grow and develop in us and to make something exciting. Can you think of a specific answer to prayer that you've had from God?
Well, I suppose there was one time that I was looking after my nephew and I was in Kirkliston, and I love people and I love meeting people and I'm very organised. So I put on the church Facebook, oh, I could meet somebody. Who's free to meet? Nobody answered me. I thought, right, okay.
Can't imagine.
All avoided me. So I thought, right, okay, I want to go to the cafe because I quite often don't get. So I came into the cafe and God told me I had a certain time because I like to plan. And God says, no, I want you to go to the cafe quite early. So my wee nephew fell asleep. So I arrived at the cafe and I remember standing up going, you know, going and got my coffee and my scone. They're brilliant. If you haven't been, by the way, you should go. It's off for the summer, though.
Good plug.
And so I remember standing, going in a voice, right, I've been asked to come here. I don't know who I'm meeting. God, you know, so I don't know. And I heard a voice behind me and a person had come in. Well, I'm here as well. And I don't know who I'm meeting. And we had a lovely time. So, do you know, see, whenever you let God plan your day, and it's amazing what happens.
Thank you very much. Thanks for sharing with us. David says, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. So David's saying, I'll glorify your name because of all the great things that you've done for me. And you know what I was thinking this week? We can be even more thankful than David for God's great love. We have far more to give thanks for than David ever had. Because God has made his love known to us through his son, the Lord Jesus, who he sent into the world to die for us, to forgive us and to bring us eternal life. And it says in 15, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God. So you see some of these words are bigger to emphasize them. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servants. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. I think it's great to hear how people are organizing their prayer lives. I'm a bit envious of how well organized Fleming and Bev are, because I'm not really that kind of person. And I'm not saying that that's the only way to do it. But it encourages me to build prayer into my daily life and to be more disciplined. Maybe something that Bev has shared has helped you to think about listening to God. Maybe about keeping notes, using books to help us. Remember to use our hand for prayer. These different things, the people closest to us, the people who guide and direct us, important people in positions, people who are weak, praying for ourselves, giving thanks to God for all that he has given us. And something I've tried, and it's made me realize just how often I do it. Every time I pick up my mobile phone or look at my phone to say a prayer, there's been some amount of prayers have gone out since Thursday, I can tell you. But it's amazing. It just changes the way that you look at life. It might be the person you're about to speak to or that you're reading about. It might be just saying thanks to God or just realizing that you've got so many things to be thankful for. Just a short prayer. And you can be praying. When it says pray at all times, just take your mobile phone and you're pretty much going to be doing that for most people today anyway as they spend time looking at their phones. So that's a simple resource, but something that most of us at least can do. Why did David pray? Why did David pray? Because he needed God's help. He needed God's help. He couldn't do it on his own. And you know, we all need to pray. Not out of a sense of duty or saying, oh, I suppose I have to pray. But because we want it to be the most important thing in our lives. Because we know that we can't get through without God, that we need prayer. And so we need to make time and we need to ask God to renew our hearts for prayer. And this church needs prayer too. Once a month we have the prayer cafe. And every Sunday morning there's a prayer meeting before the service starts. And I need to be honest at this point because prayer is an area that needs renewed in the life of this church. Only a small group of people meet to pray when we come together. And it's always a good time together and a sense of God's presence with us. It's not always been that way. For the first years of the life of the church here, so many more people came to pray. So what has changed? So let me encourage you to come to pray, whatever age you are, even a child, to come to join us to pray. And if you've got kids, let me encourage you to make that sacrifice as parents, for a short time each month, just for 1 hour, to allow your partner to come and pray, or even just to pop in for a few minutes at the prayer meeting here before church. You don't even need to stay for 20 minutes. If you're busy or you've got things to do, just pop in and have a short time of prayer there and then come out and get on with what needs to be done as well. So my prayer is that this core value of prayer in the life of this church would be seen in the life of the church and in our daily lives as an evidence of our reliance on God and our obedience to his word. So as we close, let's take a short time to respond to what God is saying to us as individuals and as a church. in the quiet, even if it's not quiet, is God convicting you of a lack of prayer? Maybe this morning God wants to put a person on your heart to pray for or to contact or to visit. Maybe you want to thank God for all that he has done for you. It's going to take a very short time of quiet, of silence, of listening to what God has to say to us.